Our next guest has been an ambassador, teacher, and performer of Cuban music for decades. Juan de Marcos is a musician and band leader for the groups Sierra Maestra, the Buena Vista Social Club, and the Afro-Cuban All-Stars. His recordings have sold millions of copies worldwide.
Over the past several months, Juan de Marcos has been an artist in residence at UW-Madison, presented by the Arts Institute and hosted by the School of Music and the Office of Multicultural Arts Initiatives. On Tuesday, December 8th at 7:30 p.m., he'll be part of a final event at the Memorial Union along with student performers and other national artists. Juan de Marcos, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Thank you very much for giving me a chance to talk to your audience, and for me it's a pleasure. I love Madison.
We're going to start by listening to a live track of yours. You and I were chatting before this interview began, and you said you love the live sound. You don't like to tinker so much afterwards. You don't want any tricks. You like it live. So let's listen to what that sounds like.
Yeah.
That you love so much about recording live and listening live?
It's the real thing. You know, with the technology, we've been losing the spirit of music. It's better live because you can transmit the spirit of what you're doing in a precise moment to the people, to the audience. And this is great. That's what I prefer. Even when I'm on studio, we never have the chance. Sometimes I don't have the chance or the money to do it. I try to record live as well.
It seems like we're moving away from that, though, doesn't it? Everything is so polished. If a performer sings a flat note, they auto-tune it up so it sounds right. What do you think we're missing out by doing that?
I think that with the technology, we're losing the spirit of the music. In the past, for example, if you listen to a recording of Billie Holiday and Lester Young, they are mixing the music live. So the dynamics of the band, the way that the singer used to perform is excellent. And we're losing this kind of thing with the technology. Right now we have virtual bassist, virtual drummer, virtual guitar player, auto-tune, metal line. So even we have singers that are not really singers. Yeah. And I think that we're losing a little bit the spirit of the music. I prefer the live music, the real thing, not tricks. No, you know, the real thing for the people.
Well, when you talk about mixing it live, that's something jazz musicians have done through the years. They make it live. No performance is the same. Something magical may happen one night, something completely different the next night. It sounds like that's exactly what you're used to having happen on stage and when you're recording.
Yeah. That's what I try to catch. I try to catch this magic of the moment when I'm performing and when I'm mixing, when I'm recording my music.
Now, I heard that when you were a kid that you loved British and American rock music.
Mm-hmm.
What did you listen to back then?
Well, basically, the British and American rock and roll, I mean, bands like Jethro Tull, Grateful Dead, King Crimson, Rolling Stones, Steely Dan, you know. Actually, it's very difficult to find bands with this kind of quality. Nobody tries to imitate Queen, for example. Well, I remember that there was a band about 10 years ago in London, in England, Oasis. They tried to imitate the Beatles, but the Beatles of She Loves You and Do You Want to Know a Secret, and not the Beatles of the Abbey Road, you know, the real thing. You know, the music with that quality, but, you know. I used to listen a lot of rock and roll, and from rock and roll I came to my roots because I listened to Santana once, and I heard that he was performing Cuban music, and I said, well, if this guy was that important, he's a great rock and roll player, he's performing Cuban music, I have to get back to my roots. And then I got back to my roots, and I created the first band at the university performing traditional Cuban music, Sierra Maestra. They were supposed to come here for the Georgia World Music Festival. They couldn't make it because of visa problems.
Oh, well, that's so interesting. So Santana was the bridge. I was going to ask how you got from the rock and roll back to Cuban music. So he's part of the bridge. You wanted to go back to your roots. What is it about those roots that drew you when you started thinking that way?
Well, I grew up in a neighborhood of musicians. My daddy used to be a musician, and I was in touch with this kind of traditional music my whole life. But listening to rock and roll, I realized listening to Santana, listening to, you know, the breaks of bands like Led Zeppelin, they use a lot of elements of Afro-Cuban music. So I said, well, I have to get back to my roots. I have to perform my own music. And then in 1973, we started performing traditional Cuban music. And I've been working on traditional Cuban music for my whole life.
When you started doing that, were there a lot of other bands doing that same thing?
No.
Or were you kind of like, hey, look at this guy. Look what he's doing.
We were the first performing this kind of, I mean, young guys performing this kind of music, because it was supposed to be old music for the rest of our generation. But at a certain point, the band became like a kind of Rolling Stones in my country. We were really
like the
famous.
Rolling Stones? But,
yeah, we were on top for about 5-6 years.
Wow.
Number one band performing traditional Cuban music with acoustic instruments, and it was a big hit. And then after that, there were a lot of bands performing our style, performing traditional Cuban music.
Wow, that's so interesting that people just treated you like the Rolling Stones, but you're playing the music of the older generation.
Yeah, we got back to where we were before.
Well, I want to talk a little bit more about some of your music, because you went on from there. You mentioned that band, and then you also went on to be part of two other huge hits, the Buena Vista Social Club and Afro-Cuban All-Stars, which you put together.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about how your involvement got started in Buena Vista.
Well, the Buena Vista was a I was living in London, and I recorded an album for a small label called World Circuit with Sierra Maestra, and it was a huge success. We sold about 250,000 copies, which is a huge number for world music. And then once I was talking to Nick Gold, the owner of the company, and we were talking about the possibility to make a new album using a kind of big band, Afro-Cuban big band performing the music of the golden period of the Cuban music, I mean the 50s. And then we came to an understanding to record one album first and then a second album using the Eastern music of our country. So there were the first Afro-Cuban All-Stars and Buena Vista Social Club album. I grew up with these musicians. So they were all friends of my daddy. So I brought the people of the old generation to studio. And we recorded first the Afro-Cuban All-Stars first album, A Toda Cuba Le Gusta. And then after that, we recorded the Buena Vista Social Club. We brought Ry Cooter in order to work with us. And we were supposed to bring a couple of African musicians. They couldn't make it because of visa problems. But at the end, we recorded these two albums, and we have sold about 12 million copies of the Buena Vista Social Club and about 2 million copies of the Afro-Cuban All-Stars. It was a huge success and was the beginning of the end of the isolation of the Cuban music in the world.
Hmm. Well, we're talking to Juan de Marcos right now from the Buena Vista Social Club, from the Afro-Cuban All-Stars. He's a musician and a band leader, and he's been the artist in residence at the UW-Madison for the past semester. I got to follow up on what you said, the beginning of the end of isolation for Cuban music. What
yes.
do you mean by that?
I mean that for more than 40 years, our music was isolated from the rest of the world. In the past, we used to have the possibility to sign contracts with American companies, which are normally the owners of the world, I mean, in terms of the distribution of the music worldwide. And the Cuban music was very famous here in America. But after the Cuban Revolution, everything stopped. They cut completely the links between Cuban musicians and the American distributors, so we didn't have the chance to really spread our music worldwide. With the Buena Vista Social Club and the Afro-Cuban All-Stars, for the first time, we had the possibility to sign a contract with an American company and with a British company, and our music was distributed worldwide. That's why it sold that good and was the beginning of the end of the isolation, because after us, a lot of bands were able to sign contracts as well with different companies worldwide, and our music was much more known. You know, Cuban music, Cuba is a small country. We are only 12 million people, actually. But it is very important in musical terms. I think that we are the most influential one of the most influential countries in musical terms in the world. I'm talking about popular music. But even our symphonic music is great as well. I remember that I gave a lecture about symphonic Cuban music here in Madison. And the people was a little bit surprised because they didn't know that everybody think that we are Negrito Rumbero, you know, only. And we do have a great symphonic music as well. I think that the Buena Vista Social Club and the Afro-Cuban Stars were the beginning of the end of the isolation of the Cuban music worldwide. Right now, we're okay. I think that we're going to be even better in the future. Right now, you know, the governments are packed in. And I hope that in the future we're going to have the possibility to sign contracts with American distributors and major companies in order to make our music most known and most respected worldwide.
I wanted to ask, did you have any mixed feelings when that music started going out into the world and being adopted globally? Because all of a sudden it wasn't yours anymore. You didn't have as much control over how people consumed it or what they took with it and borrowed from it and how it influenced them. It was obviously a huge change globally, but it was also so unique when that music was so particular to this small group of people in Cuba.
Yeah, well, Cuba is so, let's say, so important, and we've been able to keep our culture alive for years. I think that in the future we are going to be able to keep our culture alive as well. And with this global, you know, phenomena, our music is going to be okay. I hope that we're going to be able to keep what we had. Because in the past, even when we were living in a commercial country, we were able to keep our roots. We were able to keep our roots, and we kept the rumba, we kept the Afro-Cuban religions, we kept everything. So we are going to be able to keep our spirit in the future, I think.
And we've got one more track to listen to. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about it before we take a listen. This one is called, in English, it's True Love, Amor Verdadero.
Yeah, it was one of my first recordings with the Afro-Cuban Stars. The lead singer was a really close friend, an old guy, Manuel Licea Puntillita. And I remember when we were recording this album, the piano player was Ruben Gonzalez. They are all gone because they were the first generation of the Afro-Cuban Stars. Mm. So far, I've had more than 10 different bands because I normally change the band every couple of years. But this is the first generation. Orlando Cachaito Lopez on bass, Ruben Gonzalez on piano, and Miguel Angal Diaz. Gone as well. My brother Carlos Gonzalez on bongo. There are more than six persons already gone in this band. And you know, I remember when I was recording the album. It's a live performance in studio. The sound is roomy. You can listen to the sound of a room, a very special room downtown in Havana. Very good studio, wooden, very old. And you know, when you record in this kind of a studio, you can feel the vibrations of the people that recorded there. I'm talking of Nat King Cole, Josephine Baker, American musicians,
right,
and also Benny Morea and all of these great soneros, Cuban soneros. So this is a great recording. I love it.
Juan de Marcos, thank you so much for joining us. Juan de Marcos is a musician and band leader known for his work with the Buena Vista Social Club, the Afro-Cuban All-Stars, among other groups. And you can live stream his final event as part of the UW-Madison's Artist in Residence program on December 8th at 7:30 p.m. You'll find a link for that on the Central Time Facebook page.